most people think they own what they don't own, just because they have it.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's where the concept of stewardship comes in.
God created mankind to manage what he owns, because he owns it all.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. We tell our children again and again to take care of the things we give them. Well, today, Dr. Evans explains why God expects the same of us and why we often don't do much better than our kids. Dr. Evans will be teaching out of the first chapter of Genesis. Let's join him as he opens today's message with this personal story.
During seminary days, money was very difficult to come by. It was a time of almost financial destitution. But it was part of the sacrifice you made to do those years of seminary, intense seminary training. But with a family, we still had to survive as best we could. And so there were miscellaneous things that we would seek to do to make ends meet as best we could. One of those things was house sitting. People in well-established and well-to-do neighborhoods would call Dallas Seminary and say, we want some house sitters. They trusted the students at Dallas Seminary. They were preparing for ministry, so they expected that nobody would steal from them. So they would have students come to spend the weekend or even up to a week at their home or while they went on vacation or on a business trip. And so these students would come to the home and we put our name on the list of persons to be invited to live large for a weekend. You can imagine the treat it was to go to some of these palatial palaces to house sit for people who couldn't be there. This would include not only watching the premises, but watching the dogs or the pets, and sometimes if the adults were leaving, to watch the kids. And so we were given pay to house sit. It was a different feeling being in that house than being in our little old apartment. There was foods that I'd never heard of before in the refrigerator of that house and those houses. The furnishings that were amazing in those homes. On one occasion, one man had in his garage a Bentley, and he told me that I could drive it to school. But I regularly had to be reminded by Sister Evans, this is not your house. This is not your house. Sometimes I'd get a little too comfortable because they had left us in charge in their absence. It's easy to forget what's yours and what's not just because you're in the vicinity of it. For a weekend or a week, we were stewards of a property that we did not own. We were managing the premises of another. Our job was to oversee the well-being of what was entrusted to us while the owners were not there. That responsibility is called stewardship. It is a managerial responsibility. It is not an ownership position. God has a house. It's called his kingdom. That's his house. And he not only owns the house, he owns everything in the house. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all of them who dwell in it. God claims comprehensive kingdom ownership of all of creation. He repeats this over and over and over again. In Psalm 89, verse 11, God says, I own all that the world contains. In 1 Corinthians 10, 26, God says, I own it all. In Revelation 4, 11, God says, I own it all. So if God owns everything, you and I own nothing. Somebody didn't hear that. If God owns everything, all that it contains, you cannot claim ownership without ticking off the owner. God claims complete ownership of all of his creation, so there are no other owners. There are no other owners. If you grab that you own nothing, including your own life, because it can be taken, you have now set yourself on a journey of understanding life. Because most people think they own what they don't own just because they have it. They're in the vicinity of it. What God has established is a management company. Owners of property have management companies that manage the well-being of their property for them. God has a management company. It's called mankind. God created mankind to manage what he owns, because he owns it all. Before God created man, he had another management company, angels. Before there was mankind, there were angels, and angels managed God's creation on his behalf until one of the angels went rogue. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14 explains how Lucifer, the shining one, rebelled against God and tried to establish his own ownership on God's premises and tried to create a joint venture with other angels, a third of all the angels, to join him in owning what he did not create. And that led to a cosmic kingdom rebellion. Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, I was there when Satan fell from heaven like lightning. Jesus says, I was there. He existed before he was born. When Satan fell, that is when Lucifer got a name change to Satan, he became the adversary of God. He was kicked out of heaven to the third planet from the sun, Earth. That's why when you open your Bibles, it says, and earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. How could there be darkness when God is light? It says darkness was upon the face of the deep, so God had to create light. It says God had to separate the land from the water. Whenever land and water are mixed, that's called a swamp. Why was the earth in disarray? Because Satan had been kicked out of heaven to earth. So this had become the abode of the devil and his evil ones. But God decided as owner to renovate the property. So in Genesis 1, God renovates the property. He calls in light, the sun, the moon, the stars, separates the water from the land, creating continents, and brings order to a chaotic environment, but now establishes a new management crew. A new group of stewards, if you will. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 to 6 says, and you have made man a little lower than the angels. That is, constitutionally inferior. We can't disappear. We can't fly around. We don't have angelic intellect. We are lower constitutionally than the angels. But you have crowned him with majesty. You've hired a new crew. to look after your works. That's stewardship. So let me give you a specific definition of kingdom stewardship. This management crew, mankind, male and female, has been duly tasked with protecting and expanding the assets of the owner. Stewardship is protecting and expanding the assets of another. You protect it and you expand it. Everybody in here has a bank, a place where you deposit resources. You do it for two reasons. To put it in a safe place. That's why you don't keep enormous amounts of money under your mattress, because it may not be safe. So you put it somewhere where there's a vault, you put it where there's security, because one of the jobs of a bank is to protect your asset. But there is another job, and that is to expand it. That's why you want to know what the rates are. You want to know how much interest will you get on your money, because you don't just want them to protect it, you want them to expand it. That is, to make more of it than you started with. So the job of a steward is to protect and expand the assets of another. So the job of a kingdom steward is protecting and expanding God's creation on God's behalf, because he is the king, creation is his kingdom, and we are his management crew. When you understand that you're not an owner of anything, since God owns everything, and you're only a manager of everything that God puts in your hand, it changes how you look at everything. You ever have anybody come over your house and think they own it? In fact, do you have anybody in your house who don't pay who think they own it, like your kids? Then they're out of order because they have misunderstood their role. God has created a kingdom, and his management team have misunderstood their role, because they think they own what he's only given for us to manage. And whenever ownership and management are in two different directions, there's going to be conflict. Because when the manager is doing something opposite to what the owner has prescribed, there's going to be conflict. Because the owner is insisting, you work for me. I don't work for you.
Dr. Evans will return with more on the meaning of stewardship in just a moment. But first, as we're learning today, each of us has been entrusted with a portion of God's kingdom. And this series is designed to help you understand that responsibility more clearly. If you're ready to go deeper, Tony has written a powerful book that does just that, called Kingdom Stewardship. Unlike most stewardship resources that focus mainly on finances, Tony explains that money is just one part of a much larger calling, one that opens the door to far greater blessings when we understand it God's way. That's why we're offering the Kingdom Stewardship book as our gift when you make a contribution to support the Alternative Broadcast Ministry. And to help you get the most from this teaching, we're also including the companion study guide and downloadable videos featuring exclusive instruction from Tony. Plus, you'll receive the complete 2-volume Kingdom Stewardship Sermon Series, all 12 full-length messages, including insights we won't have time to share on the broadcast. This is one of the most comprehensive packages we've ever offered on the air, but it's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. Visit TonyEvans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 to request the Kingdom Stewardship Package. I'll share that information again after the second part of today's lesson. Right now, here's Dr. Evans.
And so God created mankind to be his stewards, and he would equip them for their stewardship, because he says, let us make man in our own image. An image is a mirror. When you woke up this morning and you went before the mirror, you saw you. If you lifted up your right hand and you saw the right hand in the mirror lifted up, it's because you lifted your hand up. Because all the mirror did was bounce back to you, you. An image is a shadow. When you see a shadow, when you move, the shadow moves because it mirrors your movement. So God says, we're going to create man, male and female, and we're going to create them to mirror our movements. So the job of every person created is to mirror God's movement as part of God's management team over things they do not own, but that he owns. So we're going to make them like us so they can mirror us on that which belongs to us. And that is all creation. So you are part of a, I'll put it in business terms, you're part of a association of managers, a stewards. The Bible calls it stewardship, to protect and expand the assets of another. Because God is expecting his people to expand what he got started in the garden throughout all of his creation. That's what God is after. God has given you managerial responsibilities. So what does he say? Chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for on the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. So he tells Adam, look, I'm gonna give you an apartment in my house, and we're gonna name your apartment Eden. And I want you to keep it and cultivate it. To cultivate means to unlock its potential. When a farmer cultivates the soil, he's doing it to plant seeds, because the seeds are gonna produce new things. In other words, I want you to bring out of it what it can do. Therefore, let me say this, it is a sin not to maximize your potential under God in relationship to him. So he says, I want you to now, watch this, freely eat of all the trees in the garden. The first use of the word free is not the American Constitution. The first use of the word free is the Garden of Eden by God himself. Because men were created to be free to maximize their potential underneath God with all that God has provided for them to do that with. Adam is a single man. He's not married yet. So I always say to the single, if you're not maximizing your freedom as a single Christian, you're sinning. Because he commanded him to do it. And he's not married. So he commands a single man, rather than whining that there's no mate, you better use these trees to the max. Eat freely from all the trees. Maximize your potential of the garden that I put you in, the sphere of my ownership that I have given you to manage. I want you to get everything out of creation that creation has the potential to provide you. Keep it, that means protect it. Cultivate it, that means unleash what it can do. And if you're not thinking like that, you're not thinking like a good manager. A good manager wants to expand the business. A good manager wants to get more renters in if it's an office. But a good manager wants to expand it for the sake of the owner. He says, however, I'm going to put one tree, and that tree you can't touch. You can't touch that tree. Now, all these other trees, use them to the max. But that tree will kill you. Why would God put a tree in the middle of the garden that could kill you while telling me I got all these other trees I can have fun with? I want you to be reminded this is not your house. I don't want you to get so used to the garden you think is yours. That you think this is your house, you own it. No, I'm letting you live here. And to let you know I'm letting you live here, I'm gonna stick it right smack dab in the den. So that any movement you take, you gotta bypass that tree. Oh, this not my house. Oh, this not my house. Let me say a word about the tree. It was a Google tree. It was a Google tree. because it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it was an information center. Okay, you could Google any data you wanted on this tree because it was an information center. He says, I don't want you to eat of this tree, but why would not I eat of the tree when it's got so much information in it? Good and evil. It's got good information. It's got bad information. It's a Google tree. Why wouldn't I take advantage of this tree? Because God wanted to tell his management association and all of the members of it that I do not want your basis of knowledge to be knowledge that you reason. I want your basis of knowledge to be knowledge that I reveal. I want you to live by revelation, not human reason. The worst thing that the manager can do is put his rebellious intellect on God's property. Our world is in chaos today because people are living their lives based on the Google tree, based on their own ability to reason, based on education, information, relationships, who they know, rather than the revealed will of God. And God is saying, this is not your house. And I'm putting it right smack in the middle of the garden so that you are reminded every time you move up and down, my creation, it's not yours. This is mine. I'm just letting you here to manage it for me. Okay, let me, by a show of hands, how many of you own your homes? You own homes? No, you don't. No, you don't. Uh-uh. No. The bank owns your home. The bank owns your home. Now, you feel like you own it. You think you own it, but miss enough payments and the bank will let you know what you thought you owned, you don't own. We're going to foreclose on you. So we use the term owning, but technically, you don't own. However, even though the bank's the owner, you manage it. See, the bank doesn't come over and manage your house. They don't take out the trash. They don't fix the plumbing. The bank is an owner, but the bank sets you free to manage it. So you could be a terrible manager of something you don't own. We've all been around people who don't take care of their houses, who don't take care of their lawns, who don't take care of their trash, who don't, they don't take care of it. And the bank gives you freedom to mess it up, even though it still claims ownership. God has given you the freedom to mess up what he created. In fact, he's given you and me so much freedom, we can hand it over to the devil if we want, because that's what Adam did. So as a manager, as a steward of God's kingdom, you are free now to mess up the garden, or to mess up the life, to mess up the family, to mess up your world, to become an addict. And just because you were created by God doesn't mean you don't have the freedom to be a bad manager. Because the bank gives you the freedom to do that, and so does God. And so, he says, I want you to live under me, and I want you to make my creation fruitful. The interesting about fruitful, he said, be fruitful and multiply. That's not just having kids. That's one way you're fruitful and multiply, but it means to unpack potential that did not previously physically exist. Okay, watch this. Deuteronomy 28:4 says being fruitful includes what you do with the land, what you do with the produce. So he talks about fruitfulness in a variety of different ways. So fruitfulness is everything you unpack that God has created. Men are caretakers. When you take your kids to school, they're your kids. They're not the school's kids. A lot of us have good motives, but we're making bad decisions because it's not coming from a steward relationship. It's coming because we think we have the right to do it, even though the owner has not given us permission. God says, I want you to unpack the potential. One of my grandsons loves Legos. Legos is his thing. Legos is what he loves to do. He loves to get these pieces and construct things. Now, Legos don't come with stuff constructed. You don't already have a house or a car or a building, or you don't already have that. The whole point is to connect the dots so that you take what's in the Lego box and you craft something new out of it. God has filled creation with Legos. All kinds of things that can be. That's why mankind can come up with all these new ideas using the same stuff, make it new and improved, and make you think you're getting something different. In fact, all your old stuff, keep it, because it's coming around again. Because God wants us to craft out of creation, out of relationship, for the purpose of the owner, utilized by his managers. It's yours to manage, not yours to own. He told them in verse 28, and I will bless them and they will rule, of Genesis 1. Blessing is the experience of God's favor. Blessing is the favor of God entrusted to us for ourselves and for the benefit of others. Now, here's the key. Ruling was tied to relationship, reflecting God's image. And this ruling, in concert with relationship, for the purpose of managing what God has placed in you, is the key to experiencing blessing. So the question is, will you give up ownership in terms of God, become a manager, and find out what the owner wants in every sphere of everything under your sphere of influence? Give him permission to use all that he's given you to unleash the potential of all you are, all you have, and all over which you're responsible, and then watch what he does in your life, in your world, for your good, because you will now be giving him pleasure. See, now he's gonna smile and say, ooh, because we all have met people who don't know their place. We tell them, you don't know your place. God looks at humanity and says, they don't know their place. That's what happened at the Tower of Babel. They said, we will be like God. We don't need God. We're going to build a tower and we're going to get to heaven ourselves. The Bible says in Genesis 11, God came down and said, they don't know their place. So we're going to cause havoc. So all this havoc you see, political havoc, racial havoc, social havoc, all this stuff, you see, it's God saying they don't know their place. But if God can get a group of people who know their place, who understands you are a manager, not an owner, and you give it up, you have positioned yourself for the God of the Bible to bless you.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking today about our responsibility within God's supervisory team. Now, before we wrap up, let me remind you about that comprehensive Kingdom Stewardship resource package I mentioned earlier. It includes Tony's insightful book, the companion study guide, downloadable videos, and all 12 full-length messages from the Kingdom Stewardship sermon series. These resources are our way of saying thank you when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's teaching coming your way on this station. Be sure to make your request before time runs out by visiting tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where a team member will be glad to help you. Again, the number 1-800-800-3222 or online at tonyevans.org. Well, the old saying goes, what's mine is mine. But what if it isn't? That's what Dr. Evans will talk about next time as he explains why what we thought were rights are really responsibilities. Be sure to join us.